Welcome to Jersey Guys Sports, your sports talk home for the Yankees, the Giants, the Rangers, and the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. I'm your host, Don. Thanks for listening. Today I'm going to be discussing Rutgers' season finally catching up with them as Rutgers misses an NCAA tournament bid and Rutgers is headed to the NIT. Let's go ahead and get started. So Rutgers, we learned on Sunday, after Selection Sunday, that Rutgers did not make the NCAA tournament and will be NIT bound. They accepted a NIT bid. They'll be the number one seed for the NIT, which is small consolation. And they're going to play Hofstra on Tuesday night at Jersey Mike's Arena, which really is the rack. And this is really a matter of Rutgers season finally catching up with them. The bottom line is Rutgers is not good enough overall and has not played well enough overall, as if you look at the entirety of the season compared to some of the other teams that made it. And it's unfortunate because up until Mawat Mag went down about a month and a half ago, they certainly did play well and better than they even needed to make the NCAA field. Since Mawat Mag went down, they've had a litany of problems, all kinds of other issues, and have not looked at all like the same team that they were before Mag went down. And they simply were not good enough to make the tournament this year. And it's unfortunate. One of the key reasons, other than Mag going down and losing a key defensive player and a player that was really coming on offensively exactly the time that he hurt his ACL and was out for the year, the issue is that Mulcahy has really sucked monkey balls the entire time up until the last game or two after Mag went down. Mulcahy's play since Mag went down has directly driven Rutgers to wins or losses. And it may not have been noticeable at the time, and it may not be talked about or written about now much of the time, but to me it's clear as day. If you saw those games that Rutgers blew, and there were some huge issues and huge problems for everyone, Mulcahy was the worst of the worst. He had two or three games in a row with 0 points. This is a senior point guard with one more eligibility year left who had 0 points two games in a row in big games. You just cannot have that from what is supposed to be a leader on your team when you're playing less than full strength. 0 points, a bunch of turnovers, looking completely lost. Now, the last couple games, when Rutgers looked much better, Mulcahy was better. And it seemed to be a direct correlation. Mulcahy played a little better, hit a few shots, didn't turn the ball over 38 times. And you know what? Hey, the team looked a little better. He is kind of a key to this team. And when he sucks balls, as he did, the team kind of sucked balls, and it wasn't just because of him, but he certainly led that charge to suckiness, and it's unfortunate. You know, you want other people to pick up things. Certainly Spencer didn't have some of his best games. Amorey, Hyatt, a bunch of others were below average during that bad run that Rutgers had that caused them to miss the NCAA tournament. But it's Mulcahy. Mulcahy played awfully. The team played awfully. And they missed the tournament. A couple of reasons were provided by the selection committee as to why Rutgers missed it. And it's something that I think Pikul and the team has to respond to. They went 3-7 to end the season. And apparently the committee does look at the end of the year. At least that's what they said this time. In a way, you know, they were just not the same team at the end of the year. They had three straight double-digit home losses. And they were to Nebraska and then Northwestern and Michigan, right? In that ending span of 3-7. That's really a bad showing. And the other thing that the committee said was that Rutgers' schedule was terrible, basically. It ranked 342nd out of 363 Division I teams. So basically, out of 360-plus teams, they had like the 20th worst ranked schedule. So they played the easiest out of conference games, basically, right? And it's been like that for a long time. And I think Pikel needs to schedule some tougher games. Basically, the bottom line is when you schedule easy games out of conference, there's almost no upside. If you win, you're supposed to win those games. If you win a tight game, the committee looks at it and says, you really aren't that good. If you lose the game, you're really going to be knocked on your, tournament, selection committee Sunday for a really, really bad loss. And if you win, it's not even taken into account, as you can tell from here. Rutgers blew out every non-conference opponent here that wasn't, say, Miami or Seton Hall, and killed them by 30, 40 points every time. And it didn't matter because the teams were so bad, because their strength of schedule was so bad. The bottom line is you have to schedule tougher non-conference opponents and get them on your schedule. If you beat them, they're very good wins. If you lose to them, they're not bad losses. The committee will not, ding you for losing, say, a close game to a tough non-conference opponent. So if we schedule, a tough team and more of the Miamis or Texas, or you put a tough non-conference team there and you lose by 5-8 points, it's not a big deal. It's almost better than beating a shit team by 30, because your strength of schedule is much better. And when you're matching up in Selection Sunday, this is what the committee looks at. It's a tough thing. For Rutgers fans, it's a bitter pill to swallow because a month and a half ago, early February, it was as sure a thing as it's ever been for Rutgers making the tournament, at least in my lifetime. It is about as sure a thing as it's ever been. And they managed to actually blow that. It's that loss to Minnesota, in where they had lost a 10-point lead with the last 65 seconds of the game, kind of epitomized the season. Right? It's hard to imagine a team making the tournament after a loss like that. While they finished the season strong and they beat Penn State, who went to the Big Ten title game. And they played well against Purdue, who also went to the Big Ten title game. It wasn't enough. And it's unfortunate, and it's a sad thing. Now, Rutgers ends up being the number one seed in the NIT, and they're actually going to get a home game tomorrow night, Tuesday night, at the RAC. They're going to be playing Hofstra. It's a very bitter, bitter pill to swallow. Now, a bigger concern than simply not making the tournament is the effect that this may or may not have on incoming recruits. Pikel and Rutgers has been recruiting at just an off-the-charts level in the last year or two. I mean, their recruiting continues to impress. And Rutgers now, over the next 2 years, has 2 5-star recruits committed and 2 4-star recruits committed. And we're trying for Dylan Harper, who would be a 3rd 5-star recruit. Now, this not making the tournament this year may put a dent in those commitments and may actually force decommitments. And that would be the absolute gut punch of gut punches for Rutgers. For this to happen and for them to have what will almost certainly be outstanding players that are committed to Rutgers decommit because Rutgers could not finish out this season would absolutely be the biggest gut punch you could imagine, right? We have a tremendous 5-star shooter coming in the fall, right? And then next year we have Ace Bailey coming in, class of 2024, and we're trying for Dylan Harper in 2024. All 5-stars. And if 2 of them, decommit, and the 3rd doesn't come, this would have been probably the worst case scenario for Rutgers, all because we couldn't close out the season. And honestly, in my mind, I know it sounds dramatic, but it's Paul Mulcahy. It's because Mulcahy's game was a complete dumpster fire over the last 5-6 weeks of the year. And his dumpster fireness sunk the team. Now, again, I'm going to say for the last time, the whole team played fairly poorly over the last month. But Mulcahy drove the team into the mud. And his continued turnovers, his continued missed shots, his continued bad decisions. You'd watch him when he was in his funk. dribble the ball slowly, use up most of the clock, maybe pass it and get it back. And then he would do things like take it into the key area, you know, right at the elbow or even into the paint, and then just sit there, get double teamed, not able to do anything, and end up turning the ball over or getting a shot rejected. Mulcahy had more shots blocked in the last 5 weeks of this year, I think, than any player I've ever seen play basketball. He continued to, either on fast breaks or layup attempts or spins, get shots blocked because he just wasn't in the flow. I don't know what happened to him. I don't want to hear he was hurt. If he was hurt, he shouldn't have played. If he played that badly, I'd much rather have some of the kids playing, anyone, because he sunk the team. He sunk the team. And when he played better the last couple games, Rutgers played much better. There was a direct correlation to it. And I think if you don't see it, you're probably not paying attention. If you were to go back and look at those games, you would see what I mean. Now, going forward, we're just going to have to wait and see. Rutgers is going to do whatever they're going to do in the NIT. You know, who knows? And with this team, the possibilities are so varied, it's ridiculous. Rutgers could lose on Tuesday night at home as the number one seed and just end the season as bleakly as possible. Or they could win the whole thing, the NIT. Certainly it's possible with this team. But either way, no matter what they do, including going all the way and winning the NIT, it's not good enough. And it would be a travesty if they just lost tomorrow night and really, really sealed their fate with these recruits. They have to at least continue to play well as they can and go as far as they can in the NIT. But no amount of, you know, going far in the NIT is going to make up for what happened at the end of this year, what happened with Mulcahy, and what happened with Pikul scheduling terrible, terrible opponents, which in the end really cost Rutgers on Selection Sunday. Now, when interviewed about this, about the actual, you know, strength of schedule and scheduling all these patsies, unfortunately, Pikul didn't seem to think it was a problem, and his responses were a bit concerning, and there's not really an indication that he's up for changing it anytime soon, and that continues to be a concern. And I love Pikul more than probably any other Rutgers coach, but he has got to see what's happening here, right? He's got to see that we cannot continue scheduling these, you know, 350th ranked, you know, quad four opponents and hoping that that somehow makes his team better, right? We have to schedule better opponents, get a better strength of schedule. And certainly in the end, the only thing that matters is we need better players. Like, let's face it, we can talk all this dog shit all we want, but at the end of the day, we weren't good enough to beat a lot of these teams. You know, whether I go on about Mulcahy or whoever I go on about, you know, Mulcahy wasn't good enough. The team wasn't good enough. The rest of the players on the team weren't good enough to overcome a dog shit Mulcahy. You know, the problem at the end of the day is obviously we did not play well enough and we were not good enough and we did not have enough depth. There is cause for optimism. I don't want it to be all doom and gloom. This is a day of doom and gloom, but there is some cause for optimism as we look to the future. We have a few folks on the team in Wolfo and in Simpson who I think are going to become really good players. Now, how long it takes them to get good and how good they can be remains to be seen. But certainly we have some players who are up and coming. This is going to be the last year for McConnell. It's probably likely that we'll get Paul Mulcahy back. I can't tell you right now if I'm happy or sad about that. I think I'm happy. Also up in the air is what Amori is going to do, right? And that obviously will affect Rutgers a great deal, whether or not Amori will be back next year. You know, there's an outside chance he could be drafted or something. I doubt it, but you never know. And then you have to throw in the transfer portal, right, which is always a bigger deal. Every year that goes on, the transfer portal is a bigger deal. We had tremendous success, great season, super excitement a couple years ago, and we lost Johnson. And we lost Young to the portal. We lost really good players, right? Unexpectedly. So you just don't know who's going to come or go to Rutgers in the portal. The greatest concern, as I said before, is keeping these committed recruits because we have tremendous, tremendous recruits committed to Rutgers over the next year or two, particularly 2 years from now, 2024. But even this incoming year, 2023, we have a tremendous five-star shooter coming in, just a really good player, and another good four-star. And we have to keep these kids. We have to keep them. I don't know what the coaching staff is currently doing or will be doing shortly after the season ends, but it's a tough, tough, tough pill to swallow, and it's a long, long, long off season for Rutgers basketball. So we're going to have to cross our fingers, hope the recruits stay, and then pray for good things as the off season evolves. So that's all I have for you today. I want to thank you for listening to Jersey Guy Sports. Please subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends all about it. I'll be back soon with some more sports talk. Thanks and have a good day.